This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
Once again, my name is Derek Bros for the Conscious Resistance Network. Today is Friday, November 27th, 2020. This is episode 118 of the Conscious Resistance Live called What is the People's Reset? I've been talking about this concept recently and using that phrase, the Greater Reset, the People's Reset, for a couple of weeks now, but I haven't really stopped to explain it much. So please stay tuned tonight. We're going to be covering, as usual, important news that you might not be hearing related to COVID and plenty of other important topics. But also I'm going to be talking about this concept of the People's Reset. You by now have heard of the idea of the World Economic Forum and what they call the Great Reset. Well, now we are pushing back and we are going to create and manifest something totally different. So we're going to talk about what that looks like tonight. But before we get into all that, I want to remind you guys to bookmark my website, which is theconsciousresistance.com. That's theconsciousresistance. If you are new here, we've been doing this since 2013. On the Conscious Resistance and active in Houston, now active in Mexico. You can find my books and download them for free. You can watch our documentaries for free. You can watch all of our podcasts on here. You can follow us via our email newsletter, which I recommend you sign up for right here. I actually sent out a special newsletter yesterday for Thanksgiving. And you can also follow us on Float, where we are live right now. Shout out to everybody who's watching us either on Float or DLive. I know most of you are probably watching on Facebook. But I want to invite you guys to check out the platforms float.app and dlive.tv/consciousresistance so you can see platforms that are not censoring us and are allowing me to live stream. And of course, we are actually live right now at theconsciousresistance.com/live if you want to watch directly through our website. That's cool too. You can also follow us on Mind. You can follow us on Hive. You can find our videos on BitChute and you can find them on Library. These are all mostly censorship-free platforms, I guess we could say that. And if you want to join my direct channel, sign up for my text list, sign up for my Telegram channel, and if you'd like to support, do so at patreon.com/DerekBros. All right, so let's get into it, guys. Like I said, tonight we're going to be covering more than a handful of important stories, and then we're going to be talking about what is this idea of the People's Reset and how we as individuals, empowered, beautiful individuals, can actually shape the direction of the planet, as opposed to simply standing by and I guess accepting what's happening. Myself and my buddy John Bush, who is tuned in right here, we're developing this concept of the People's Reset, the Greater Reset. I mean, the name, we'll figure that out later. But the point is that, like I said, we're tapping into that energy that, for one, the World Economic Forum and other sort of globalist, centralized, statist organizations are correct that the world is in an unsustainable fashion at the moment. It is very limited in how it continue to grow. There are people suffering. There's a lot of inequities and a lot of issues that need to be addressed at some point. And many of us would agree with those statements that the World Economic Forum and others have put forth. However, the world that they are calling for is very centralized, top-down, statist control. It's not individual choice. I think it's actually the abolition of individual choice and bodily autonomy. So we're going to talk about that. How can we tap into this momentum of what's going on with this idea of a Great Reset, but do it in a decentralized, bottom-up, real, true grassroots way? So that's what we're going to be covering tonight. But first, we're going to cover a few news stories. And as always, if you want to follow along with the stories that I'm covering, you can always visit theconsciousresistance.com. I already have the post up right here. You can see Conscious Resistance Live 118, What is the People's Reset? And all the links that we're going to be covering are going to be right here. And also, I did do a podcast just a couple of days ago. If you missed this one, I really highly recommend it. Episode 117, it's just about an hour long. This is our moment to stand up. Don't miss it. And I covered a lot of really important COVID news that I think that you just need to make sure that you are aware of, because some things are moving so fast, especially with the vaccines. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, but tonight I want mainly to be focused on the solutions and the People's Reset. So let's go ahead and get into some of these stories. The first one I think that we'll go ahead and start with relates to, some of you might have heard this already, that the United States is out there bombing people in other countries again. Yep, under the Trump administration, on his way out, it appears, from being president, decided to go ahead and bomb what we're told is Iran's top nuclear scientist. Of course, this is in the sort of decades-long back-and-forth propaganda about, you know, we need to go after Iran. After 9/11, George Bush and his administration declared Iran, North Korea, and I believe Iraq as the axis of evil. And last year, maybe even earlier this year, things have moved so quick. But last year, the Trump administration also assassinated other Iranian officials, notably Qasem Soleimani, which was celebrated. He was considered to be the most powerful, one of the second most powerful people in Iran. And he was is on January 3rd. So yeah, this year, the very beginning of this year, way back in January, they assassinated him with a drone strike. And I just, you know, this might not be the most important news to many people. I think it's going to be huge when it comes to geopolitics, especially because this is being done at the behest of Israel. Once again, the United States proving that they are the little bitches to Zionists, Trump and Biden and every single president. They bow to and kiss the ring of Israel. And I think that's something that we need to expose, that it's definitely that's why they, you know, they try to label talk of Zionism or talking of Israel as anti-Semitic and criticize and censor people. And I think that's very dangerous. Besides the geopolitical implications here, the reason I wanted to bring this story up is because this is just insane. I mean, does anybody else think this is insane? I think this is insane. The fact that we're at a point, and we've been at this point for a couple of years here now, but the United States believes, because of the war on terror, again, 9/11, that they have jurisdiction everywhere in the world, that they can just go bomb anybody. Like, oh, well, that person is doing something we don't like. We have evidence of that, so we're going to just go bomb them. And I mean, who's going to hold them accountable? The United States doesn't submit to the International Criminal Court. Not that I necessarily think that's even, you know, a global body that we should support, but the idea that there should be some sort of accountability for these statist leaders that are war criminals, many of them all over the globe in different ways, it's just disturbing. But it really shouldn't be that disturbing, because as I covered in podcast episode 117 a couple days ago, the Trump administration is recently, and the DOJ in court just kind of asserted that they have the right to kill any American citizen via drone strike anywhere in the world, and that they don't have to provide any information, that they can just pull out the old national security state secret privilege. And yes, we're dealing with a lot of insanity with COVID and the march towards technocracy, but this is a part of it as well. If the state already believes, as we know with Anwar al-Awlaki, who is an American citizen who was, you know, they say connected to al-Qaeda and was a cleric in Yemen, they drone bombed him back in 2014, I want to say, because it was under the Obama administration, and they actually killed his 16-year-old son at the same time, both of them American citizens, you know, his son born in America, and yet they were given no trial, no day in court, you know, no chance to face their accusers, none of this, innocent until proven guilty. And of course, in the post 9/11 era, many people don't really give a shit, I've noticed. Like, I haven't been in a couple of years, but for a long time in the last decade, I was going to New York every year for 9/11 to talk to people about the truth of 9/11, expose the global war on terror. And it's one of the most sensitive topics that I've noticed with these rah, 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 wannabe patriot Americans, which I think are faux patriot statists that have just fallen for the propaganda, that, you know, you can't question anything related to the mission, you know, the war on terror, because, oh, 9/11, don't question it, don't challenge it. Is kind of what we hear, you know, that it's well, they shouldn't have been terrorists, or they shouldn't, you know, there's no sort of thought of like, that's an American citizen. Even if they're accused of the worst crimes ever, they deserve a day in court and, you know, habeas corpus and trial by jury and all this kind of stuff. Those things are all just thrown out the window. So the United States believes they can assassinate you, an American citizen, if they connect you to terrorism. And we know, because of the NDAA 2012, which was signed by President Obama in 2011 and has been signed every year since, including by Donald Trump, that they believe they can indefinitely detain American citizens if you are accused of terrorism. And so let's count that up. The United States government believes they can detain you indefinitely without access to a lawyer, trial, or jury if they connect you to terrorism. They believe they can drone bomb you anywhere in the world if you're an American citizen and they believe you're connected to terrorism. Apparently, if you're a world leader or a scientist in another country, they believe they can drone bomb you and kill you anywhere in the world. I mean, this is a freaking empire, an evil empire that is, I think, an infection on the world. And that's not a reflection. I mean, that's not a judgment on the American people or the land, of course, but the people running the government and the people that the government inside the government who are actually working for, the predator class, the people who are really running the show, they are definitely, they have ill, evil intentions. And I just want to make those things clear. And to add to that, as we segue into the COVID stuff, It should also be clear, as Whitney Webb and myself and others have been reporting recently, that the push now is going from being focused on terrorists from the Middle East to increasingly, as it has been the last decade, talking of radical homegrown terrorism. But that homegrown terrorism is coming in multiple forms. There's talking about, oh, there's going to be white supremacist, you know, terrorists, and then there's the Antifa left-wing terrorists. But also increasingly, they are talking about quote-unquote anti-vaxxers as essentially terrorists and thought criminals and people that need to be silenced and shut down. And this is part of an overall agenda to control everything that, you know, that we're doing and the way we're living. So I just wanted to pause to talk about that story and get it out there in case you hadn't heard about it. Now I'm going to go ahead and open up a few more links. These next three or four stories are going to relate to COVID. Then we're going to talk about Black Market Weekend, Black Market Friday today, Black Market Weekend. And then we're going to get into the Great Reset and what the heck is this People's Reset thing. Once again, this is episode 118 of the Conscious Resistance Live. My name is Derek Brose. If you're new here, please follow us at theconsciousresistance.com. So this article is talking about Trump's statements made just yesterday, Thanksgiving Day in the United States. And most of the article is not really worth reading. There's only one main part that we want to read. So he had a 40-minute call yesterday with all of the military. And it's so weird to me that this includes the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Space Force, and Coast Guard. It's going to take me a little while to get used to this Space Force thing. But he goes on and describes, he says, Trump went on to say that the world was headed towards recovery from the novel virus, specifically because delivery of a coronavirus vaccine would begin next week. Quote, we are rounding the curve. The vaccines are being delivered. Literally, it will start next week and the weeks after, and it will hit the frontline workers and seniors and doctors, nurses, a lot of people. And we're going very quickly. Now, we could chalk this up to just being Donald Trump's bravado of liking to brag. But as I've been telling you guys in recent weeks, Trump sure, you know, went from 2015 talking about, hey, maybe vaccines can cause autism, and talking about he was going to have Robert Kennedy Jr. involved in a vaccine task force when he first got elected, to partnering with people who are partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, to big pharma vaccine manufacturers, to launching Operation Warp Speed, to now bragging about how quick that they're getting the vaccine out there. So I'll let you guys decide what that means. But my point with this story is that, look, guys, these are only weeks away. Go watch my video from the other day about the Houston Health Authority. They have announced that they're expecting the vaccines to be delivered in Houston by December 12th. Now, doesn't mean it's going to go straight to the regular people. Of course, they're going healthcare workers, frontline workers, all this sort of thing. But they are absolutely focused on old folks' homes, assisted living facilities, nursing homes, these kinds of things. If you have family in there, you do what you need to do, but I would get them the hell out of there, because they are definitely going to be trying to give it to the old folks first. And then, of course, they're going to go to lower income people, people of color. Got to make sure it's all equitable and fair and just. And even if they are not going to be forcibly vaccinating people, which I don't think it's going to come to that point, at least not immediately in the next coming weeks or months, they are definitely going to make it difficult for you to survive already. We're going to talk about that with the World Economics Forum, the Great Reset. A lot of that is already starting to happen. This week, United, who else? Swiss Airlines, JetBlue, and a couple others announced that they are going to be using the World Economic Forum's Common Pass, Immunity Passport, Digital Certificate, like Bill Gates talked about, like the World Economic Forum talked about. Both Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum were involved in simulating what would happen if a coronavirus pandemic swept the world, called Event 201. Lots of coincidences here. The point is that this is really like on the brink, guys. We're like right on the cusp of this. And I absolutely believe, as I'm going to show you here in a moment, that they are going to restrict travel once these vaccines start getting distributed. You can't just have people traveling, especially across international borders, if vaccines are being distributed. We got to make sure everybody's got it now that it's being rolled out. So I think that we really need to be prepared for what's coming. Now, to add to this craziness, Moderna boss says COVID-19 vaccine not proven to stop the spread of the virus. So, of course, Moderna is one of the companies that's one of the six leading companies. There's going to be six vaccines, by the way, that they're going to distribute. I don't know if you guys got that message yet. Six vaccines that they're expecting you to take two doses, in some cases 10 days apart, in some cases 21 days apart. And these vaccines, one of them is being made by Moderna. And Moderna, of course, the guy who is the head of Operation Warp Speed, Moncef Slaoui, the former executive at GlaxoSmithKline that Donald Trump appointed, he also sat on the board of this company, Moderna, and coincidentally, they're getting one of the contracts. They are one of the companies also working on what is known as the mRNA vaccine that I'm sure many of you have heard about. And the mRNA vaccine has never before been used on humans before prior to this. And there's all kinds of reasons that we should be concerned. If this is being celebrated in the mainstream media, mainstream science world as well. This is a, you know, this is just a culmination of good science, that science was able to come together and rally and do something we've never done before. And maybe in the long term, that will be true. But I think many of us are right to be skeptical of this, especially when Dr. Tal Zaks, who is Moderna's chief medical officer, says, quote, "I think we need to be careful as we get vaccinated not to overinterpret the results. When we start the deployment of the vaccine, we will not have sufficient concrete data to prove this vaccine reduces transmission." Hold on, what? They're deploying a vaccine. They're spending millions and billions of dollars. And the head medical officer of the company says, quote, "When we start the deployment of this vaccine, we will not have sufficient concrete data to prove that this reduces transmission." He goes on to say, quote, "Do I believe that it reduces transmission? Absolutely, yes. And I say this because of the science. But absent proof, I think it's important we don't change behaviors solely on the basis of vaccination." Okay, if your head just exploded, please pick it back off the ground, because that didn't make much sense to me either. Let's try to make this make sense, if it does make sense. So he's saying he believes it reduces the transformation, and he says this because of the science. So his beliefs are based on science. However, without proof, okay, well, if there's no proof, then I don't think that's what we call science. Yeah, if you're getting a little confused, you know, so am I, but maybe that's the goal here, is to keep us confused. So, you know, don't take my word for it or the New York Post words for it. Let's actually show you the clip, and let's hear him say it in his own words. Where is my clip? Axios. Okay. Oh, wait, one more second. Yeah, this is, I think, one of the weirdest parts is I actually was starting to get into one of these Facebook debates with somebody today who was telling people I should be taken off the radio for Freethinker Radio, because we were talking about this, and basically calling me crazy and irresponsible for not wanting to take a vaccine that one of the manufacturers can't even, that the chief medical officer can't even say that it actually does what they claim it does. So here he is, Dr. Zaks, I think is his name. Let's get his name right one more time. Dr. Tal Zaks, Moderna's chief medical officer. Guys, check this out.
One of the things that's interesting about your research and also Pfizer's research, children, teenagers have not been part of the trials. I guess with Pfizer's, they've started now with teenagers. If things continue to progress the way you expect them to, when should Americans expect that their kids would be able to get a vaccine?
I would say probably mid next year, I hope by the next school year. Now, that being said, we always want to go to a pediatric, a vulnerable population, once we have some assuredness of safety and effectiveness in adults.
If teachers, if staffs of schools are able to say get vaccinated in February or March or April, but kids are not because there's not an available vaccine for them, do you believe it will be safe for schools to reopen physically with unvaccinated kids but vaccinated staff?
I think we need to be careful as we get vaccinated not to overinterpret the results. Our results show that this vaccine can prevent you from being sick. It can prevent you from being severely sick. They do not show that they prevent you from potentially carrying this virus transiently and infecting others. When we start the deployment of this vaccine, we will not have sufficient concrete data to prove that this vaccine reduces transmission. Do I believe it reduces transmission? Absolutely, yes. And I say this because of the science. But absent proof, I think it's important that we don't change behaviors solely on the basis of vaccination.
There you guys go. So this is, again, Dr. Tal Zaks from Moderna. And I mean, I'll read his quote one more time. You heard it in his own words. "I think we need to be careful as we get vaccinated not to overinterpret the results. When we start the deployment of this vaccine, we will not have sufficient concrete data to prove this vaccine reduces transmission. Do I believe that it reduces transmission? Absolutely, yes. And I say this because of the science. But absent proof, I think it's important that we don't change behaviors solely on the basis of vaccination." So look, I think this is, it's clear, guys, what they've been saying. And I've, myself and other researchers have been telling people from the beginning, this is not just going to go away like many of you still seem to believe it's just going to go away. They are making it clear, even after this dangerous, potentially dangerous, untested vaccine, that some people have been injured already in the trials, and that the trials are only testing a small amount of people. When they tell you it's 95% effective, 99% effective, they're not testing it on thousands and thousands of people like they've claimed. This has all been debunked, and you can check out the work by Ryan Christian, The Last American Vagabond, for more about that. But we also had this just a week, 2 weeks ago. Dr. Fauci says masks and social distancing will still be needed after a COVID-19 vaccine. And that's exactly what we are talking about with that guy from Moderna, with the doctor. I mean, he's basically saying, like, look, we're not promising you anything. This thing could work. And the reason it's important to emphasize this too, the reason he says absent proof is because typically with the vaccine, they would need to study people for years, multiple years, because if an autoimmune disorder is going to pop up after a vaccine, it takes time. And I will also point to you guys to why we're just talking about it. I've done a full video on this separately, a full interview with Ryan Christian on The Last American Vagabond. But, you know, we talked about Event 201. Many of you know about some of these other simulations. I covered another simulation about a week ago, and it was called the SPARS pandemic of 2025. That also involved the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. And I talked all about this, you know, and they, in this particular pandemic simulation that takes place between 2025 and 2028, they admit that for one, the pandemic was overblown, that it wasn't as dangerous, that the death rate ended up being way low. They admit that people ended up getting injured from the vaccine. They say that, it, you know, after about a year in this simulation, neurological effects start to affect people. So I'm not saying that's going to happen necessarily, but I am saying the people involved in pushing this, including the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, which Johns Hopkins University is one of the people tracking COVID numbers. They were involved in Event 201. They're very connected to Bill and Melinda Gates and to the Great Reset agenda. They've simulated the idea of a coronavirus that they called SPARS traveling around the world and in the United States, people protesting the vaccine, and the vaccine ended up injuring people. So I'm just putting that out there. Another piece of COVID news as we start to wrap up and get closer to the greater reset talk, the People's Reset. What is the People's Reset? Stay tuned and find out. This is new this week from Forbes magazine. Can employers force employees to get a coronavirus vaccine? And again, this is the method that it's going to be socially engineered. What the technocrats like to do is called social engineering. Social being our behavior, the way we're interacting, society, and engineering them sort of using, like Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a technocrat. Many of you may remember him. He passed away recently. He was a globalist, friends with Henry Kissinger, and advised many presidents. His daughter now works for MSNBC. I'm sure she's not spewing out any propaganda for their agenda. They all talk about this technocratic class that can engineer society, the experts, the scientific elite guiding society. And that those experts, they want, they're engineering the society that they want. In order to do that, in order to socially engineer that, this is one of the subtle ways. This is the way that they don't have to come to your house and put a gun to your head or bring a military man to your house with a gun and say, hey, come outside or we're vaccinating you or we're killing you. They're just going to make it difficult to work, play, live, and travel. And this Forbes magazine article is only the latest in a long line that we've seen since January, where in mainstream publications, some of you may remember the USA Today one. This one's still really freaks me out that USA Today ran this mainstream thing basically saying it's patriotic to wear a mask and to get a vaccine, and we need to fine people and punish them who don't. We need to make sure that their health insurance premiums are going up. And there's another one I covered just a couple of weeks ago that straight up said people's freedoms. They said that we should pay people to get the vaccine, and if they don't want to get paid, well, then they should lose freedoms. They should be fined, or they should basically be forcibly isolated and quarantined. So before it comes to that forcibly quarantined and isolated, I mean, it may get there sooner rather than later. This is one of the ways that it's going to get pushed. And so this Tom Spiegel, senior contributor at Forbes, asked, can employers force employees to get a coronavirus vaccine? And the short answer, he says, is yes. An employer may impose a vaccination mandate for its employees. At first, this might sound surprising or a little oppressive, but when you think about it, it shouldn't be surprising at all. For example, many healthcare workers in hospitals, clinics, and nursing homes have been required to be vaccinated for years. And it says other times these mandates are imposed by state laws. And then they talk about there being a precedence from OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which has stated that an employer may require its employees to get certain vaccines, such as the seasonal flu and the H1N1 swine flu vaccines. And you better believe they're going to say the same thing about this COVID vaccine. So I posted this on social media, and there are definitely people, some of you out there said, like, this is what really freaks me out. This is what really worries me about what's going on. And you know, that this could be the end of some of your job. Others were like, hey, I'm sitting pretty. I'm self-employed. I'm in the black and gray market. I'm not worried about that. And that's where I'm at. I don't really have to worry about this, but definitely there are many of you who are going to. And this is one of the reasons that I wrote my book back in January, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. And I've been encouraging you guys to really be forward thinking, to think ahead of how are you going to take care of your families? Because if you can't, if you don't want to get the vaccine because you're worried about getting harmed, and you can't make a living without getting the vaccine, or at least that's your current job, you can always do something different. And that's a big change for a lot of people. But hey, I'd rather do that than take my chances. But if you don't have that vaccine, then it's going to be difficult to work some places. And more than likely, like with the mask enforcement in some places, they probably won't let you get into some grocery stores. Once these immunity passports start getting used for air travel, which that's already happening, they're going to be used for many other things. I guarantee you, just like the TSA starting to expand to buses and train stations and things like that, there's going to be this thing. We'll check your, show your little common pass at the door. Okay, cool. You're clear. Your QR code says you're good. And guess what? They were doing this in China within like months. And that is one of the things that the World Health Organization praised China about. That's also with the 2010 Rockefeller document that discussed scenarios for future development, specifically the one called Lockstep, that described a rise of authoritarianism and chaos after a pandemic. It described masks, it described thermal scanners and shutting down borders and all these things. I mean, they're following the playbook, and that is what I believe is the future for the United States unless people push back in some way. And maybe there won't be enough pushback, but even if there's not enough pushback, which I think there should be, and there is in some states, that people need to be prepared to build outside of that. For me personally, I'm down to go to a lockdown protest. I'm down to go to, you know, speak about the different failures and lies of COVID and get out there and do that kind of activism and movement. But at the same time, what I think is more important is for us to be building outside of the systems. And that's what the Greater Reset, the People's Reset is all about, that we're going to be talking about in just a moment. So I'm encouraging people to get your money out of their banks, try to find income that is independent of their system. And I know that's a big ask for some people, where, you know, some of you have several children and mortgages and things that I don't have to worry about. I fully empathize with that. But if you want to take care of your family, you need to start thinking about this. How are you going to handle this? Because there might be some places that allow for religious exemptions. Obviously, I'm coming from Texas, and a lot of people have moved to Texas from New York and California because of the vaccine laws. But there are Dr. Peter Hotez, Big Pharma shill, Dean of Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, who are out there daily talking about how there's a vaccine information war and people need to, you know, we need to take away their rights to not be able to opt out of vaccines. Like, it's really going down. So if you're going to be protesting this stuff, which is important, get out there and support businesses, encourage them not to lock down because it's only hurting small businesses. But at the same time, get yourself out of their grid as much as possible. Start connecting with local farmers and farmers markets in case they get shut down, and give them your phone numbers, exchange info with them and say, hey, if the shit hits the fan, I'll still come buy from you. I'll still come purchase your products from you. Start that backyard and garden. It's not too late. And if you're up north and it's already cold already, start some plants inside. You know, there's so many things that you could start, but if you don't start now, then even if it feels like the Great Reset is like coming on the horizon, you're better to start now than never. That's just basically what I'm saying. And consider getting as much money out of their banks as possible, because there definitely could be bank lockdowns once all this COVID shit happens. I mean, it might even be hard to get to, and like, for example, in Mexico, I can go to the ATMs all day if I want to withdraw money out of, you know, my PayPal account or something. But if I want to go into a bank, which I don't ever need, but say you need to, they do require masks and temperature scan. And it might be that way with the vaccine or proof of, you know, immunity and these kinds of things. So be prepared. This is the message that is being pushed out there in the mainstream. Forbes is not just a nobody. They're a mainstream publication. All right. The last two COVID stories I have relate to Mexico and, well, Mexico and the United States. Many of you know that I'm in Mexico right now, and I've been actively trying to follow the situation, the vaccine laws, the COVID situation. Where I'm at, things are very chill. We're not locked down. We can go outside. You know, I can basically live my life the way I want to without any issue. Go to the farmers markets, go on bike rides, go to the gym, no mask, nothing. Like, I'm chilling. But I do know things could change. And it's so weird to be watching the US media, how they're telling everybody like, oh my God, deaths are on the rise and everything's getting crazy. And just to be here, like, wow, it feels like another world again. But either way, there's a couple of relevant Mexico and US news related to, again, the vaccines and the borders. So this story says that the Mexican government could absorb some liabilities arising from COVID-19 vaccine. This is coming from Reuters. Mexico's government could absorb some liabilities arising from unexpected side effects of COVID-19 vaccines, but is not considering creating a fund to do so, a top official said so. So I think this is interesting because the Mexican government is at least acknowledging that, hey, people are going to get injured. And they don't seem to have any issues kind of acknowledging that. But of course, we're told this collectivist argument that it's all about the greater good. So if you and your children get injured, it doesn't really matter as long as most people are okay, we think. I mean, we'll see what that mRNA vaccine does to their DNA. As various vaccine candidates make their way through different stages of clinical trials, it is unclear who will foot the bill if people in poor countries fall sick from treatments. If this contingency arises, these funds can be obtained from the Treasury, Martha Delgado, the deputy foreign minister in Mexico, said. And now this is the interesting part. The World Health Organization's COVID-19 vaccine plans, which are known as COVAX, which again are funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as part of that 92 poorer kind of, you know, what people call developing countries, are eligible to access vaccines at a lower cost until the end of 2021. And Martha Delgado, Deputy Foreign Minister of Mexico, says that she believes potential side effects will likely be caught during the vaccine trials and by health authorities. And she says, we don't believe the WHO and its entire network of associations would launch a vaccine and make it available to 100 countries if it's questionable from the point of view of safety or responsible. Martha, I would rethink that, but hey, we're going to find out, I guess, right? According to confidential documents reviewed by Reuters and six people familiar with the matter, the WHO has left the issues of financial claims unresolved as it seeks to ensure that the injections are distributed fairly. So I think that's just interesting that they're talking about like who's going to handle the vaccines. And of course, there's this one sentence here that doesn't feel, make me feel too nice and fuzzy. The government wants to vaccinate nearly all of Mexico's population against coronavirus by the end of 2021 after reaching deals with pharmaceutical companies Pfizer, AstraZeneca, CanSino, plus with COVAX. And the COVAX is the World Health Organization, Bill and Melinda Gates. And I covered this a while back. I had a video about mandatory vaccines that you can find on all my channels in Mexico, showing that Carlos Slim, who's one of the, who is, I think, the richest man, the billionaire in Mexico, is also buddies with Bill Melinda Gates, and they are co-funding this vaccine. So that's not a good sign. And yeah, and then I have this other one here. AMLO is the nickname for the Mexican president. He spoke at the G20 this past weekend, like Trump and others did. And I thought it was interesting, some of the things he said here. Okay, well, the title says AMLO to G20 leaders, priority for the poor, universal access to medical care. So he's calling, you know, for free access to medical care. López Obrador delivered a 5-point speech to his fellow G20 leaders at the virtual event, saying that the dual health and economic crisis that have been caused by the coronavirus pandemic have caused suffering and calamities. So he goes on to describe health as a fundamental right. Vaccines and medicines need to be free and available to everybody. Interestingly, and I appreciated this. He said that prevention is better than the cure. And, you know, he wants the government to promote a healthy diet and yada, yada, whatever. Like, I don't think the government should be passing laws about how much sodas people can drink. But encouraging people not to get diabetes in the first place is probably a better idea. And he acknowledged that there's a lot of Mexicans with hypertension, diabetes, and obesity. So it, and just like there are Americans. And so that's only making things worse. Now he goes on, I think it's his fourth point, he said. He talked about private debt and public debt, which I thought was interesting in regards to the Great Reset. Now, hold on. Okay, right here. He says, though, now remember that last one said that they're talking about vaccinating all of Americans and, I mean, not all Americans, all Mex. They want to try to vaccinate their whole population. Well, in this one, I go back over here and he says at the G20, he said, governments should, quote, abandon the temptation to impose authoritarian measures such as unreasonable lockdowns and curfews. And he said, quote, nothing by force, all by persuasion and reason. Now, AMLO's a politician, so I don't much trust him more than I would trust Donald Trump or Joe Biden. But, hey, that's better than nothing. That's stronger than I've ever heard Trump come out and say, hey, we need to stop imposing authoritarianism and, you know, let's just no force, let's just persuasion and reason. That's a lot better than the idea that they're going to try to, you know, force everybody to it. Now, of course, we'll see what things play out in real life. But I thought that was interesting that he spoke at the G20. He's calling for free vaccines and free medicines, but he's saying, hey, we don't need force. We don't need authoritarian lockdowns. And for the most part, the president has been against it. Now, different states in Mexico are handling things their own way. Some places are locking down, but he's not really supporting that. Now, the last thing I want to say, and then we're going to get to the People's Great Reset, the People's Reset. Back here on this first article that I was showing you guys about the vaccine and liabilities in Mexico. Let me scroll down here to the border. This is an important one for Mexico and America. So the foreign minister of Mexico said that they're expecting vaccinations to begin by April 2021 in parts of Mexico. The worst scenario for Mexico is that the U.S. has a vaccination campaign for 4 months before Mexico. And then there's an issue of closed borders because in Mexico, there's no vaccination campaign. So she's saying if we receive vaccines in December, perhaps we could also start a campaign in January or February. So what she was saying is, again, like I said, once the vaccines start happening, if Mexico doesn't have the vaccine, but the US has the vaccine, they're probably going to close the borders because they don't want people who haven't been vaccinated to come in. I mean, it's clear where this is going, guys. I don't think we're going to be able to travel across international lines, maybe within the next 6 months, if not sooner. That's just my prediction based on everything we're seeing here. Take it for whatever it's worth. But that's what's going on in Mexico. The Mexican government saying that they will absorb some liabilities, acknowledging that people are going to be injured, saying that the borders could be closed down if Mexico and the U.S. are on different vaccine schedules. And in AMLO, the president of Mexico just last week at the G20 said that they should not use lockdowns and they should not use force, but just reason and logic. So that's all the COVID news. Now let's get into the topic of the evening, what I think is the more important, the solutions, right? Because many of you understand, many of you, I've had this message on social media quite often. Derek, we understand that, you know, I read your book about the technocracy. I understand about agorism, or I'm learning about it, or, you know, I see the immunity passports and the biometrics and the facial recognition and, you know, the surveillance everywhere. I see the biosecurity state that's going to only allow me to travel to live based on my biology, based on my vital signs, and whether I'm wearing a patch that's going to send them my vital signs, or if I'm going to implant something in my skin. This is the world that we are moving towards. This is the world that the World Economic Forum is hoping to create, what they are calling the Great Reset. And I understand that many of you get that, and I get that. So what is the solution? What are the solutions we're going to take? Here's the World Economic Forum. Let's look at the Great Reset. I'm going to open up a few links here for you guys. The Great Reset. This is the World Economic Forum Great Reset, weforum.org. World Economic Forum, again, the organization that was involved with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, John Hopkins Center for Health Security, and the Event 201 planning, as well as other events. They launched this back in June originally, and this is their idea to remake for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. To improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. And you can watch these just sappy, disturbing videos where they try to make everything sound nice and sweet and beautiful. And they've got all these articles and they've talked about it. I'm not going to spend too much time describing it because I doubt many of you are on this video who've never heard of the Great Reset. If this is new to you, then I will invite you to visit theconsciousresistance.com and check out our show notes and read my article from back in July. Been talking about this since June. COVID-19, the Great Reset, and the New Normal. And I think you really need to read that if you haven't got quite caught up on this topic. But let's just look at this one. It talks about how the Sustainable Development Impact Summit, that the World Economic Great Reset, World Economic Forum Great Reset, is in line with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals or Agenda 2030. And they have, I mean, they've got so much information on this website, you could spend all night just trying to understand it and looking at it. And many of us have done that. Now, I saw this just a day or two ago. There's no vaccine for the infodemic. So how can we combat the virus of misinformation? And this is, again, they're talking about, how do we stop the spread of misinformation? How do we get people educated with, you know, trustworthy sources, basically government sources and corporate sources and big pharma sources? There's a podcast they released today. You can go check it out if you want to. They have a podcast called World Versus Virus, where they really have detailed a lot of their the plans. And you have things like this right here, the COVID-19 Action Platform, which I covered way back, I think in March or May, where they just describe, again, how COVID can reset the whole world, how COVID is providing these wonderful opportunities. And I mean, it's designed to make people think these are just nice philanthropists like Bill Gates and others who are taking advantage of this crisis to help us do better things. And COVID has shown that the world is broken. And oh my God, who could have imagined? Who could have simulated this? Like Bill Gates says, they never simulated for it. And so now they're putting out their ideas. They first launched it in June, put out a bunch of videos. You can find on YouTube the World Economic Forum account. You can find so many videos about the Great Reset. They've got a book about the Great Reset. And then Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum. And also, I should note, I don't hear many people mention this, he's a steering committee member of the Bilderberg Group. Yeah, that Bilderberg Group, that shadowy group of of elite world leaders that up until a couple of years ago was a conspiracy theory that none of us were supposed to talk about because that's just crazy. Well, the World Economic Forum is led by Klaus Schwab, who is a steering committee for that same group. I mean, so all of these sort of not good signs are popping up. And if you go to the World Economic Forum YouTube channel, as you can see right here, The Great Reset, COVID-19, The Great Reset, The Great Reset Launch. There's so many things here that I've been following up and spending time trying to watch this, including, let me show you this one. This is one they just put out recently. Rethinking the social contract is really a big part of what they're talking about, because they don't want it to be that you're an individual that owns their body and can make your own choices. They want it to be, well, the collective gets to decide what's right for your body and for you and whether you need to put a vaccine or what kind of job you should have. So they're talking about resetting the social contract. This is part of the Jobs Reset Summit 2020 that they had 2 weeks ago. So they're constantly talking about resetting. And then just this week, they announced the Davos Agenda. And of course, the World Economic Forum is held every year in January in Davos, Switzerland. And they have now just released this Davos Agenda for January 25th to 29th, January 2021. The COVID-19 pandemic has demonstrated that no institution or individual alone can address the economic, environmental, social, and technological challenges of our complex, interdependent world. The pandemic itself will not transform the world, but it has accelerated systemic changes that were apparent before its inception. The fault lines that emerged in 2020 now appear as a critical crossroads in 2021. It's time to rebuild trust and to make crucial choices is fast approaching as the need to reset priorities and the urgency to reform systems grows stronger around the world. So this is what they're talking about, guys. This is them describing what we should be doing, how we should be living, you know, and their version of remaking society from this technocratic vision of top-down, centralized authoritarians who are the smartest men in the room or the scientists or the experts that are going to micromanage society. And this also has an element of the transhumanism, the technocracy. They've been talking about the Internet of Things. I talked about that a lot with my 5G reporting and my documentary, The 5G Trojan Horse. But they're also talking about what they call the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And not just the Internet of Things, but the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Humans. That's when we start becoming a part of this kind of decentralized interconnected network of the Internet. But in this case, it's going to be very centralized and it's going to be managed by them and controlled by them. So this is their agenda, and it is now all out in the open. They have officially announced the date of the Davos, when they're going to be meeting next, which I'm thankful for, so we can plan around that. And then right here, they describe how the 5 days of the event are going to go. And so I'm going to read this, and then we're going to tell you, what does it mean then if there's a greater reset or a people's reset? How does that look? How can we possibly hope to influence or shape this when these, you know, big leaders are going to be meeting, well, virtually, of course, right? Can't meet in person. But right here it says, the Davos Agenda will also mark the launch of the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Initiative and begin the preparation of the special annual meeting in the spring. Each day will focus on one of the five domains of the Great Reset. Now, let me pause there. So look, they announced it in June. They put out a book. But January, this next couple months, is the official launch of the Great Reset Initiative. So everything that we're paying attention, all the propaganda that we see building up, I guarantee you guys in the next couple months, it's going to build up so more. We're here on Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday. I've already seen the propaganda. They're telling people that COVID cases are getting worse because you wanted to go see grandma. So now everybody's getting sick and we're going to have to lock down everything again. It's going to hurt the economy more. You have LA County, New Mexico, and other places that are shutting down grocery stores. I mean, it's going to get rough this winter. And this is, I believe, what they mean by dark winter. And as we're going through that, we're going to be leading up to the launch of the Great Reset Initiative by 25th of January through the 29th. By that point, 2 months from now, 60 days from now, can you imagine what people are going to be like if the grocery stores get closed down for weeks on end, if their businesses keep getting closed down, if, you know, other people are living in fear and paranoia and they can't go anywhere without masks and all that stuff? That's 60 days, guys. And that doesn't seem like a lot of time, but a lot can happen in 60 days. There's also, of course, supposedly the inauguration of a new president, or who knows, on January 20th. So you have the inauguration January 20th. 5 days later, you have the Great Reset Initiative. This is going to be a very important time. And then, as they mentioned, this is a preparation for their special annual meeting that's happening in spring. And I believe that's in March. And that is probably going to be another important date to pay attention to. So let's look at what these 5 days talk about. On Monday, they'll be talking about special addresses, leadership panels, and impact sessions on designing cohesive, sustainable, and resilient economic systems. On Tuesday, they'll be talking about driving responsible industry transformation and growth. On the Wednesday, they'll be talking about enhancing stewardship of our global commons. And on Thursday, harnessing the technologies of the fourth industrial revolution. That's going to be talking about 5G, 6G, the Internet of Things, the Internet of Bodies, stakeholder capitalism. On Friday, they'll talk about advancing global and regional cooperation. I mean, this whole thing is just a smokescreen for a global government. I mean, I think that's becoming more and more clear. If you can't see that yet, I'm not sure what you're doing or if you've been paying attention. But that is what they are announcing. They have their five-day agenda, and we can look a little further. Here's their meeting overview for 2021 PDF. Look at those beautiful mountains. I'm sure, I guarantee you they're going to be meeting in person. They're going to be meeting in person and they're going to just Zoom each other in from different rooms so they can pretend like they're participating while they're sipping on fine wine and probably involved in all kinds of crazy, nasty things out there in Davos. That's just my throwing my extra on there. Now, the Davos agenda will feature heads of state and of government from G20 and international organizations giving special addresses on the state of the world, as well as engaging in dialogue and business leaders from around the world. Industry leaders and public figures discussing in leadership panels how to advance and accelerate public-private collaboration. And these public-private partnerships are a big part of their agenda. It's basically just fascism redesigned in the sense that it's a state and corporate merger. And they're going to be talking about the COVID-19 vaccination, job creation, and climate change. And one of their core communities, including its International Business Council, will share insights and recommendations for initiatives on global, regional, and industry. And so that is what they are working on. That is the Davos agenda the World Economic Forum is working on as part of this year's World Economic Forum meeting that is going to take place virtually, and that'll be January 25th through the 29th. So then, we understand that they are working on redesigning these five areas, and they actually have way more, but just these five areas for a start: sustainable and economic resilient economic systems, industry transformation and growth, stewardship of our global commons. And I'm sure that's talking about environmentalism, but from a very centralized way. Harnessing the technologies of the fourth industrial revolution, advancing global and regional cooperation. So the Greater Reset, or the People's Reset, is going to launch on this same exact day. It is going to launch on January 25th. There will be a website. There will be a launch event where you can tune in, and there will be speakers on a variety of topics, including this, including we're going to talk about the economic systems. We're going to talk about various industries. We're going to talk about the environment and the planet. We're going to talk about digital technologies and the new sort of digital technologies that are emerging as part of this fourth industrial revolution. And we're going to talk about advancing global and regional cooperation. But we're going to talk about how we can do this from the bottom up, decentralized way that respects individual liberty, privacy, and bodily autonomy, and recognizes that you are a powerful, beautiful human being, no matter what part of the world in. We are building a global movement. I just had Friendsgiving meal last night with people from four different countries. People around the world are waking up to what's going on, and I've been seeing more and more traffic from different parts of the world and seeing great messages from you guys in different parts of the world. People are really challenging and pushing back against what's going on, and that's beautiful to see. So the Greater Reset, the People's Reset, as I said, on this day, January 25th, or maybe a little sooner, we will launch a website that'll be up. You'll be hearing me talk about this over the next 60 days, because we have 60 days as they push towards their Greater Reset. Myself and John Bush, who you've seen on my channels, on the Conscious Resistance, we are going to be helping kind of co-steer this, and we're definitely looking for help. We're going to get different experts and just talented, intelligent people in these various areas. And we will be able to show you, here's what the Great Reset looks like. Top-down control, no privacy. It's 2030. I own nothing. All these kinds of things. And we'll show you the vision for their smart cities, smart grid cities, where you have no privacy, but they're going to sell you convenience and all these different things. And we're going to say, well, how could the world look like if we, the people, recognize that, yes, the systems are unsustainable. There is mass poverty. There is unsustainable food production systems and food distribution systems and, you know, factory farming and all these different things related to the way we grow our food, the way we build our cities, the way that we are interconnected. And that is a real thing. And COVID has made that more obvious. However, the answer is not more top-down centralized control. The answer is not more government. The answer is not bigger government, global government, world government? The answer is not Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates. The answer is you and me working together and collaborating and building the better world that we know is possible. That is the answer. Rather than sitting on our asses and just, you know, crying and bitching and moaning and being afraid while watching from the internet, why don't we take an active role in manifesting the world that we want? Because as I've been telling my friends recently, what these people are trying to do, they're pushing the propaganda through Time Magazine and they're pushing it through all the media. They know that we are powerful creators, that our minds are very powerful, and that we are all literally manifesting the reality we want every day. We have a shared reality to some extent, but we are also shaping the direction that we go through your actions, through your thoughts, your words, and of course your behaviors. So if they constantly feed you fear porn and propaganda and paranoia and tell you that you're not enough, you're the problem, you need us, then that's the world that some people are going to help them co-create, even just by subconsciously buying into their propaganda, which is, again, it's important not only to pull out of their banks and pull out of their food systems and get off their grid, but it's also important to take your mind back and your heart back and unplug from the propaganda. You know, we can go into that world and watch movies and watch TV shows and things and be entertained, but we should always be very aware and not let them, you know, consciously get into our subconscious mind. We need to always be on guard spiritually as well as mentally from that propaganda while we try to understand it. So they know that we have this potential and this power within us. And they are attempting to push us, to use us as a way to create this vision that they want. They want us to do it for them. That's what they would like, is for us as free, powerful, beautiful people to create their vision. So they can just sit by and keep pushing out the propaganda, get all their things in place, and then we help them make it happen. I refuse to do that. I am here to say that I am committed to a greater reset, to the people's reset. I am committed to redesigning, resetting, you know, working with the world as it needs to change. And as we're seeing more and more that needs to change, but one of the first things that needs to change is we need to shake off the shackles of the predator class and get them off our backs and let free people be free people. That's what will allow us to thrive. It'll allow us to spontaneously organize and create decentralized solutions. One of these solutions is, of course, freedom cells, and freedom cells will definitely factor heavily into the greater reset, the people's reset when it launches. And, you know, we're going to have a launch event in January on the same day that they launch their Davos agenda. It will be a virtual event for the most part, but we are also talking about maybe in February, March, probably around the same time they're having their spring meeting, that we're going to have a physical event. It might be in the US, depending on how things go. It might be in Mexico, depending on how things go. But we're going to try to have a physical event. Yes, people meeting in person without masks and social distancing, talking about ideas, because they want us to only live in the digital world. They don't want us to meet face to face, heart to heart, human to human, smile to smile. They want us to have masks on our face and not be able to hear each other, see each other, and not be able to talk to each other. They don't want us to be able to communicate and to learn from each other, and to see facial expressions, smiles, eyes light up, all these kinds of human things that our minds respond to. You get that oxytocin release, you get some dopamine, like, oh, human beings smiling, it feels good, I can feel their joy. They are trying to separate us and break us down. If you haven't checked out the Freedom Cell Network, please check out freedomcells.org, that's CELLS.org. We've just been doing some major revamping in the last week, and I know many of you might have tried before and said, hey, the website wasn't working, or I couldn't get signed up. If you've ever tried to apply, your account has been approved. Everybody has been approved. We sent out a bunch of emails. Log in, add yourself to the map, to the member map, search the map to try to find people near you. Search the cell map to try to find cells and groups near you. Get connected, start meeting in the real world, because community is the answer. Whether you're living in the United States, Bulgaria, Mexico, Australia, UK, etc., community is the answer. Whether you're going to live in the city, you're going to live in the suburbs, or you're going to live in the country or out in the, you know, middle of nowhere, community is the answer. We cannot do this alone. They are going to be pushing this agenda. They're going to try to make it difficult for us to work, to travel, to live. But if we have a community, if we start divesting from their system and building something better and doing this through the greater reset and helping this idea flourish and replicate all over the world, we are going to create the parallel network that myself and many other people have known is possible for years. We don't need them. We don't need to vote for a new president. We don't need the current president. We don't need to wait for somebody to get into office to change things. We don't need to wait for the World Economic Forum to fix things. We don't need to wait for Bill Gates to fix things. And we honestly know that that's not their plan. They're not here to be the saviors. They're here to try to control and manipulate things, but they're selling people on that idea. So join freedomcells.org. Start communicating and connecting with people in whatever way you can. Start organizing, because we've got a couple of bumpy weeks ahead of us and months as these vaccines start to roll out, as there's potential for borders to get closed down and our ways of life to be disrupted, as well as people to be hurt financially and economically. We've got more food bread lines out there than ever. So we want to reimagine that. How then can we redesign the food system so they are sustainable? How can we use permaculture? How can we actually care about the planet but not fall in line with Agenda 2030, control our lives, make sure you can never drive or do anything again unless it's okay, or make sure you never own anything again? How can we create a better world that does respect individual liberty, bodily autonomy, and does so from the bottom up? That is what we are trying to create. And I know Freedom Cells is going to be a part of that. We're going to look at technology. We're going to look at education. We're going to look at family. We're going to look at things like blockchain, because blockchain has both good uses and uses that are, you know, part of the World Economic Forum Great Reset Plan. We're going to look at farming and just so many different areas. We have like this whole thing designed that we're going to create. We're going to replicate it off some of the things they're talking about, but we're also going to go further than that and really show how, get some presentations and some ideas on how we can start tapping into this resource. And then we're going to have the Greater Reset, People's Reset website. It'll be up there forever for you guys to see, for anybody to go look at any of these different areas. And there's going to be solutions. There's going to be presentations. There's going to be information. There's going to be book recommendations. There's going to be documentary recommendations. We are going to be able to really help people find the solutions that we need that are more important than ever right now. So that's what the People's Reset is all about. That is what the Greater Reset is about. And I'm really, really thrilled to be working with John Bush on this. And we definitely want and need any help possible, whether that's, you know, from designing the website to helping us figure out how to automate this process, how to connect with as many people. We want to hear from as many people from different parts of the world. I don't want this to just be a North America thing, Mexico and the United States. We want to hear from our friends in Europe and Australia and Africa and South America and Greenland and Asia and everywhere who are concerned about this direction. Let's collaborate. Let's work together. Let's build this together, because they have a global agenda, the Great Reset Initiative, which launches officially on January 25th through 29th of 2021. They have that vision. Now we need to have vision. We need to have some initiative and not just stand by and let them drive this, because either we're going to sit by and be passengers in their vehicle, or we're going to step up and we're going to take control of our destiny and we are going to steer this. So on the day that the Davos agenda launches on January 25th, 2021, on the day that they start pushing their agenda for this Great Reset and this new normal, we will be launching the People's Reset, the Greater Reset. And we will see how you and I, as free, powerful, beautiful people, can launch our own vision and can create our own vision of a better world. That is what we're focused on. We're going to empower each other, and we're going to learn from each other. And I know right now, guys, this is probably the most important time that is ever existed, at least in our lifetimes. I can say that for sure. I can feel it. I know so many people can feel it. There is potential right now. Yes, there is all this crazy shit happening. The vaccines are rolling out. The military is getting ready to distribute them in the United States and other countries. And there's people getting potentially harmed from these vaccines. And there's just so much insanity going on, authoritarian measures. And it only seems like it's going to get worse, immunity passports. Yet at the same time, there is so much flourishing. There is so much growth. There is so much abundance. There is so much potential. And tonight, I invite you guys to invite that into your lives, to manifest a more abundance, more potential, more opportunity, more growth, more cooperation, more collaboration. Tonight, in this moment, I choose to manifest growth. I choose to manifest my highest good. I choose to work with those who have open hearts and open minds and open ears and eyes to hear and see, to create and manifest a better world for each of us, a world that respects individual liberty, individual autonomy, and says that you are the master of your domain and you should decide the best path for yourself and your family. That is the world that I want to manifest. And it might sound like a pipe dream to some of you. It's not a utopia where there's never going to be any problems. That's the BS that they're selling you, that there's some idea of a utopia. That's not realistic. What I am saying, what I'm trying to build and we are trying to co-create, is a world that each of us get to design. We are all so beautiful and unique and different, and that is important. That's amazing. We should respect our diversity. We don't have the same desires to live in the same way or to eat the same foods and to do many of the same things. But if we can at least learn to respect each other and to not initiate force, violence, and coercion against each other, and to respect each other's ways of life and come to agreements and come to collaborate rather than buying into this division, my friends, we will create that better world. I know it, and I can feel it in my heart. I can feel it racing through my blood. I know that this is why I'm here, and I guarantee you this is why you are here. The last thing I want to mention tonight, today is Black Friday in the US, and there's probably still people out shopping. I know they're saying that less people are shopping because of COVID or whatever, but I'm sure there's still people out there beating each other up in Walmart. It's a favorite pastime in America. But James Corbett, my buddy James Corbett from the Corbett Report, he put out a couple of recent articles, recent interviews. This one is called Black Market Friday Roundtable with James and Mike Switek of Agoras.market. And it's a good discussion if you want to learn more about Black Market Friday. And this is all about what I've been saying, guys, opting out of their systems. Don't buy Amazon this weekend. Don't shop for your family for Christmas from Amazon. Do you know how much money Amazon's making already? Do you know how rich Jeff Bezos is getting during this bullshit? You need to shop at your local friends and family, small mom and pop shops. I saw that in Houston, markets are starting to open up again. So go out there and support people. Don't go buy from those big corporate box stores. They don't need you. Your local businesses need you. Go over to the restaurants that have been hurting and buy some gift cards and give those out. There's so many different ways that you can support people. But the idea of Black Market Friday is to buy outside of the controlled fiat money paradigm. So even better than just supporting locally, I encourage you to buy using precious metals or local currencies or barter or cryptocurrency. And you can do so on this website, agorist.market. Agoras.market, connecting counter-economy buyers with sellers. And anybody can list anything on here, whether it's books, services, etc. You can read all about this. As long as it respects the non-aggression principle, anybody can post anything. And so I encourage you to go there, see if you want to buy something from there. If you want to shop this weekend, you can buy my books through my website. My new books is available. I'll tell you all about that next week. Just support somebody who actually needs it. Don't buy my book through Amazon. Go support somebody local. And if you can do it without using the Federal Reserve note, the US dollar, then even better. So just a last little reminder, support local, support those in need. Don't worry about big pharma, big Amazon, big tech, all them. They're going to be fine without us. They don't need us. How about we starve them? We starve the corporate state. We starve the technocratic state, and we build the agora, the conscious agora. We build outside their hands. All right, guys, that's it for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, my name is Derek Brose of theconsciousresistance.com, Conscious Resistance Network. If you want to see all of the links for everything I covered, visit theconsciousresistance.com right now. Look up Conscious Resistance Live episode 118, and you can look in the sources, and all of my show notes are there. This video will be uploaded once we finish. It'll go up on BitChute, Library. It'll go up on Float. It'll go up on Minds and Hive. So thank you guys so much for watching. I really do appreciate it. And until next time, my friends, remember, you are powerful. You are beautiful. You are free. And we need you now more than ever. Peace.
This is Derek Brose. Derek Brose. This is Derek Brose of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries. Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
We're not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink.
Fucking hell!
Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important...